It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Friday. It's the 25th of October. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show, and it's the usual Friday mix. Our first hour dedicated to the Friday panel. We'll discuss some of the big stories that you've been talking about over the last 24 hours and the rest of this week. We want your views, of course. 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 24,000. 24,000? 25,000. If you want to give us a call, it is 07491 24,000. 25,000. I don't know why I'm getting 24,000. What's going on, Caroline? I'm at 1,000. Or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. comments@highlandradio.com. All right, let's welcome our panel this morning. We'll say good morning first to Liam White, community campaigner. Hi, Liam. How are you getting on?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you with us. Councillor Liam Blaney of Fianna Fáil is there. Good morning, Councillor.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning. Good to have you on the show. And also we have Emma Gova, the wee Donegal mammy. Good morning to you, Emma. How are you keeping? You're muted, though, Emma. Yes, you are. So we'll come to you. You might just unmute for us there, but we'll come to you in a moment. Okay, let us see. What are we going to talk about today? Right, there's lots to get through over the next hour. There we go, Emma. How are you, Emma? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to all listeners. How are you?
Great to have you on board. Right, okay. Earlier this week, we were contacted by parents of two young boys, and there was commentary on this elsewhere. They came home from play school wearing nail polish and, in one case, hair clips, triggering a passionate debate. Many in the play school industry said this is just a normal part of play at that age and is set out for in the curriculum, that it's playing and nothing to do with gender. And in some cases, it can be something as simple as just a spa day. Though some parents, and it seems to be fellas from those that contacted us mostly, were not happy about it, saying that it is feminising boys and is being done without parents' consent. So lots of different opinions on this. Councillor Liam Blaney, what's yours?
In my opinion, Greg, it's gone slightly too far at this stage. To have what you said there, nail varnish on little boys, nails going home and hair clips on their hair. I think it's definitely gone far too far. And, you know, maybe while they're in the classroom and they see their other classmates doing it, that everybody wants to do the same thing, but I think, you know, sending them home with it then, I think it definitely is a step too far on it.
Right, so you would, in the play school environment, you wouldn't have as much of an issue with it, but if you're going to do it, make sure the nail polish is removed before the boys go home?
Definitely, you know, even within the environment, I wouldn't be that much for it, although I understand whenever there's so many pupils together that they will, when they see one doing, possibly will the rest will want it. But I think as far as outside the classroom environment, I don't think it should be forced on them or pushed on them.
And some were saying who contacted us that it enforces gender stereotypes even with the girls, and that really the play environment, if you want them to fully explore all their opportunities, have none of this type of stuff at all. No makeup, no nail varnish, whether it's for boys or for girls.
Well, look, I'm not going to start telling the people in charge of looking after young people. I have no qualifications and that. I wouldn't like them to think that I'll be telling them what to do. But they have a curriculum to go by, and they have to follow that curriculum and expose to the best they can. And I think it should be, that curriculum should finish whenever the classroom, whenever the class finishes on the day.
All right. Emma, what's your view?
It's very complex. I understand that there's a curriculum to be followed and they do love, you know, exploring and playing and things like that. But, you know, would we be having the same conversation if it was a little girl putting a boiler suit playing the part of a farmer?
But you see, I heard that yesterday, and that's the argument I didn't really understand, because that's potentially breaking down gender stereotypes of what jobs we can do. Girls nurses, girls carers, fellas builders, fellas tractor drivers. But this is beautification, though. This is This is go beyond. This is not gender roles. This is, as some would say, as feminization, which is not and really in the same enough. Space. I would say.
My husband, like, I kind of tried to gauge his opinion on this because I'm a woman and it doesn't bother me.
Yes.
I do my nails, I do my makeup, so I don't really have the same, you know. And my husband would honestly say, no, I wouldn't be for it. You know, I have to be honest. Like, if we had a wee fella and then he was in play school and he was coming from play school and he had nail polish on and he clipped in his hair, I'd be like, I would be questioning why that's happening. And he wouldn't be a fan. It's got nothing to do with him being conservative or anything like that. He just thinks that, you know, why? What was in that lesson that needed that nail polish to be put on and the clips to be put in their hair? So when I said to him, you know, well, if for example, our youngest child, she's 5, if she came home from school and said, put on the boiler suit and I pretended to be a farmer, I pretended to be a rally card racer, and he said, it's not the same thing, though. Mm. And I said to him, why is it not the same thing? And he's like, because she took the suit off and then she'd have come home. And that's just telling her, you know, you can break through the glass ceiling. That's not an issue. You can be whoever you want to be. He was like sitting a wee fella down and putting cosmetics on him. He said, because at the end of the day, nail polish is cosmetics and putting clips in his hair. To him, he felt it was feminizing. And he was like, and he's not backward or anything like that. He just felt like, you know, at what point do we just say, do you know what, here, everybody just needs to relax a wee bit. Whereas I was kind of saying, you know, are we the ones that are making this about gender? Are we the ones that are saying that, you know, this is a gender issue, whereas the teachers are saying it's just a play issue? But then as my husband said to me, well, at the end of the day, Emma, I flipped this over for you, you know. If I came in, if you walked into our kitchen and I was sitting painting my nails, you know, would you be thinking, like, why are you sitting painting your nails? And he doesn't have a problem. Like, we have LGBTQ family members. I'm not saying it's about the LGBTQ community before anybody comes at me. That's not what I'm saying. But he would be open-minded is the point I'm trying to make. But he just felt like, why are they putting nail polish and doing boys' hair like that in place? What, I suppose he was saying, you know, what was the purpose behind that lesson? If somebody can explain it.
About inclusivity. I think one of the cases centred on the spa day. Right, so play date sort of a thing or whatever it might be. And if you choose to do that activity, you're not going to say, right, boys, you can't do this. This is a girly thing. Do you know what I mean? So the young lads see the girls getting their nails painted or manicured or whatever, pedicured, and they go, can I have that? Can I have a go, teacher, as well? And they say, yeah, of course you can. Hop up on the chair. And, do you know what I mean? So it's in that context. The only thing is, and this is... Everything I talk about in this area, it always seems to come back to the same thing. It's to ensure that we are doing the right thing for our young children, because you might speak to a lot of people in the trans community, for an example, and the way they validate how they feel and who they are, and I'm not questioning that for a moment, by the way, is often, well, I knew from when I was 2 or 3. I knew from when I was 2 or 3, I enjoyed dressing up. I enjoyed, you know, I related more to my mom's outfits and all that kind of stuff. But so I'm just saying, are we 100% sure that this is a constructive thing to do for children? But you have your doubts, Emma.
I think that we've kind of like entered I would consider myself extremely open-minded, and I would consider myself an ally to everybody. But I just wonder, at what stage do we just say, do you know what, I understand that, you know, inclusivity, you know, if did anybody find out the wee boy, if they were doing this thing and the wee boy approached and said, you know, I want to get my nails done too. But then there's also parental consent. And, you know, should they have put that lesson off then and sought the consent of the parents first? Like, you know, for example, I got a text from our school and my child is 17 to say that they will be doing RSE after the Halloween break. And, you know, do we consent to it? So, you know, there's also parental consent there. So maybe they should have sought the consent of the parents first and said, listen, we intend to do this sort of, you know, spa day later on in the week. If you don't want your child part of it, just let us know. We'll find something else for them to do with maybe another worker, another childcare provider in the building. But, you know, and then, you know, part of me as the mother was going, what if the child had allergies? You know,
yeah, well, that's regardless of whatever the background. I don't know, because we had a lady come on yesterday too that talked about how she has asthma and finds the chemicals in these products actually aggravates it.
So to me, my more concern would be about parental consent. Mm. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to run every small tiny thing behind, beside, you know, I know that there's going to be things that are done off the cuff in classes that are part of the education, and you're not going to be absent, not going to be phoning you every day telling you everything that's going on.
Well, but, they kind of do, because they take, often they take pictures and tell you everything that's happening.
Well, listen, we're on the Aladdin app, you know, for our primary school, and we would get like notifications daily of, you know, we're going to be doing this week, we're going to be doing that after the break or whatever. I just think that, you know, I think sometimes it can go a bit too far, and I think, I understand about the inclusivity, don't get me wrong, and nobody not want to leave anybody out and all of that. But, you know, I just think maybe for future so that things like this don't get, you know, blown up in the air about it, that maybe, you know, a quick text home to the parents for planning dinners later on in the week.
And I think, too, when you make these decisions, you can't take them in isolation. You probably have to look at a national conversation that's going on and all that type of stuff. Liam White's been waiting patiently. Thanks, Liam, for that. Liam White, of course, a community campaigner, former election candidate. Liam, what's your view?
Well, I think Emma had the nail on the head there when she said parental consent. Like, you know, there's a simple enough solution to this. If crèches, play schools or whatever, contact the parents and say, look, we're having a spa day tomorrow. We'll be using A, B and C on you know what I mean, your child, and we'll be putting nail varnish on. And if a parent doesn't want that, I think it's okay for the parent to say, yeah, no, I don't want that for my child. Like, you know, and now personally, I have no problem with it. Like, you know, I don't think if you put nail varnish on a wee boy that he's going to turn him more feminine or anything like that overnight. Like, you know, but I think there's a simple enough solution. There's plenty of communication there with WhatsApp groups, and I have two girls that go to after school, and we get plenty of notification of what they're doing and stuff. So I think that's a simple enough solution, like, you know.
Yeah, and I've been trying to sort of, and I think many people have been trying to come up with a similar situation if you flip it over to girls, and there isn't really one as such that you can come up with, because I don't really, and I know Emma, and with respect, Emma referenced the hard hat and the boiler suit and all, but that's kind of not the same space, because the male equivalent to that, you could argue, is dressing up as a nurse. Now, we know there's many, many male nurses, don't get me wrong, but that would be the sort of the equivalent. There's not an equivalent, really, scenario that would affect your girls that I can think of, Liam.
No, there's not. Look, I'm not a rebel, but I think we spend way too much time in conversations with things like this when there's real, real issues out
but
there.
But these are
like housing, healthcare, stuff like that.
100%, Liam. But
you know, it's really kind of an Americanization of Irish society and Irish politics. These conversations all start in America and American universities, and then they all transfer
but
over
would
here.
Would you not?
It creates this divide that there's no need to be.
I get you, Liam. But do you not consider record numbers of teenagers self-harming? Record numbers of children with anxiety and what have you. I mean, I presume you believe that to be a very serious issue. And part of these conversations is to ensure that we are doing the right thing for our children, that we're not just going to... And I'm not saying it comes down to things like this. God, that would be crazy, right? Don't get me wrong. But is there anything more important than what is right for our children, the welfare of our children, and the world in this country in which they grow up in?
Absolutely, you know, we're all products of our environment, like, you know, and I agree 100%, like, we should do what's right, what's best for our children, like, you know, but I think we're in the process of finding what is best for our children at the minute, like, you know. Ireland changed really, really quick over the space of 10, 15 years.
But you don't
want to
blindly, you don't
want to, I presume
you don't want
to very liberal.
I presume you don't want to blindly follow what the government dictates, do you? Because that's exactly what's happening at the moment. The government commission, the people who are responsible for formulating a curriculum from which our children are taught. I mean, we don't want to blindly follow the government all the time, do we? We want to challenge it.
No, of course, it's never a good idea to blindly follow a government.
Not damaging our children.
You know, professionals are probably best placed to see what's best for our children, like, you know, along with the parents, of course, they should have a good
professionals,
say. Like, you know,
I'm not being argumentative, but the professionals were responsible for that picture that was being shown to children that made out that an Irish family are potato munchers with red hair doing Irish dancing. You know, and it was only when conversation started happening that people realised that this is the type of information that's being fed to children in schools, and that if you're not Irish or if you're not white, that you are culturally sort of... superior. So it is, I don't think these conversations are insignificant.
No, of course they're not. Of course they're not insignificant, but I think way too much time to be spent on things like this, like, you know.
Okay. Well, this is the first time we've spoken about it on this part of the show, but I appreciate your views on it. Liam, anything to add before we take a break and move on?
No, look, I definitely agree a lot with what the other two speakers just talked about there as well. 300% with them.
Okay, listen, all of you, thank you very much for now. Emma Gover, Councillor Liam Blaney and Liam White. Hi, Ruth, regards to painting children's nails at play school, my daughter works in a creche and I was thinking, or was asking her about it yesterday, the role of the play school is to not make a difference in any child. As she said, if they're painting nails and the little boy asks, can he get his painted too, they're not going to tell him no. And if parents are asked permission and one boy's parents say no, it's really fair. Is it really fair to tell one child in the whole class that he can't get his nails painted because his parents say no? Another play school is not the place for nail polish or a beauty salon activity. And as Emma mentioned, parental consent is paramount. I see an underhand way of pushing ideologies. Morning, Greg. What about Daniel O'Donnell and others that put makeup on when they go on TV? All male actors do the same, or is it only a girl's thing? Well, they're fully grown adults, of course. There's more to putting on nail polish. There's more to putting nail polish on. It's harder to take off, and men wouldn't have the patience. maybe there's something to that. I would say it's more of a health and safety issue. I've got three daughters and the smell of nail polish remover in my house when they get dressed up, literally eye-watering. Hi, guys. I'm an ex-childcare worker, so I understand what someone previously said about not leaving particular children out during things, but I feel makeup, including nail varnish, has no place in a children's facility. I'm not saying this, but people could argue that it's sexualising children. I believe makeup has no place in a child facility. There's an argument to that, too, because there are probably some parents of girls that perhaps want to leave that to later in their lives as well. When I was a young lad, you would never see a girl wear trousers, yet everyone wears them now and no one thinks anything of it. We all just need to move on with the times. And one last one before we move on. The difference between a girl playing with tractors and machinery and encouraging her to do a so-called man's job is completely different to a child thinking it's normal to change gender. Up until recently, it's been classified as gender dysphoria, a mental illness, but now it's trendy. And I suppose it's kind of, you know, with young people, very young ones, we sort of leave it open because, you know, we want them to explore the world, as someone said yesterday. We don't affirm gender stereotypes or genders at that age, but then if they're 13 or 14, then the way of thinking now seems to be that if someone identifies as a different gender, that we do allow them and we do support them affirming that. So anyway, moving on. New hate crime legislation passed all stages this week. The bill provides for increased prison sentences for certain crimes where proven to be motivated by hatred or where hatred is demonstrated. An example, the legislation will ensure that assault aggravated by hatred or damage to property aggravated by hatred will attract higher prison sentences where hatred is not proven. A person, of course, still can be charged with assault or damage to property. Now, Sinn Féin said it opposed the legislation because it's not fit for purpose and it doesn't provide a definition of hate and gender within the legislation. Liam Blaney, obviously your party, I believe, supported it, but I mean, you're an individual within your party, so it's up to you what way you feel about this. Are you glad to see this new hate crime legislation passed? Do you think it's an important issue?
I'm glad to see a start made on it. There's always teething problems no matter what you do, new on the new. And look, I agree with what has been said there as far as definitions is concerned. And I think one of the main parts of any legislation would be definitions. I'm very surprised that it's not there. And I do believe and I hope that those responsible for taking on that legislation will take a good look at it and will take in definitions, not just for this one, but any other legislation that's brought on in the future.
And by the way, there's not a motivation to stay on a particular issue here. It's just the way the stories fell this week. When you talk about definition, is it? Would you like to be defined more clearly what hate is? So in other words, what the crime of hate actually is? Or do you have any concerns with the fact that the legislation effectively says there's infinite genders, which seems to be bothering a lot of people online?
Well, the one that I would be more concerned about would be the definition of what hate is. Mm. And look, if they can't go any further on what you mentioned there, if they can't go any further than that, well, so be it. That would be the case as well. And look, no matter what legislation you take in, it's not going to be suitable for everybody. And they have to make a start, and I'm glad that the start is made on it.
All right, it's a watered-down version, Liam, the speech. the hate speech element of it was dropped because a consensus couldn't be reached on that, and there was no chance of passing both if they were coupled, so to speak. I think that's what the minister is sort of suggesting. Do you welcome the new hate crime legislation, or is it a missed opportunity, or goes too far or not far enough?
No, likewise.
Just for Liam. Sorry, I can come back to you on that in a moment, Councillor. Go ahead, Liam.
I do welcome the fact that there's hate crime legislation. Now, I know it's watered down a lot, understandably, because of the consensus on hate speech and that. Hate speech is there to protect... hate crime as legislation is there to protect minorities, be it a religious minority, be it an ethnic minority or a social group, or gender as well, which is the big talking point. I do welcome the fact that there's hate crime legislation. Definitions are a problem, I suppose, in the legislation, but it's a positive step going forward, I think. Will it be used? Will people be taken up? Will people be prosecuted for hate because of it? That's where we're going to see that's just going to test the mettle of the legislation.
And I think the definitions come through the courts. Yeah, sorry, Liam. I think the definition probably will end up coming through the courts. I mean, the way I view this, and I understand why people are arguing around at certain elements of it, but if I walked up to someone in Letterkenny Main Street and they were of a different race, and I referenced their race and I said, I can't stand you, and then proceeded to assault them, it could be done for assault, but I could also then also be done for the crime being motivated by hate, which would bring an additional sentence. I mean, that's not terribly unreasonable, is it? I think because it might protect minorities.
Nothing unreasonable about that. And if you're targeting people because they're different, you deserve to be punished for it,
And you believe that does justify an extra level of sentencing above what might just ordinarily be a public order offence, for an example, or a regular
offence? Well, I don't know about sentencing. Particularly, look, we're all young, foolish at one stage, some young person does something like that, could be referred to a programme, they're educated better or something to that effect, but if it's something really, really serious, do you deserve a longer sentence? Absolutely.
If it's motivated by the person you're assaulting being a member of a minority. What do you think, Emma?
I think I welcome it. I think it's long overdue. I'm glad to see it started. I know that there, as Lainey was saying there, Councillor Rainey, there will be teething issues with it. Every bit of legislation does have, and you have to kind of go back and look at it. And I know this is the watered down version of it, but no, I welcome it. I think that if you are targeting somebody, or you assault somebody solely for the basis of their colour, their religion, or their sexual orientation, you should face the full rigours of the law. But my only concern is will it be implemented as it should be? As in, we see anyway the sentences in the courts for certain things. People maybe aren't receiving the sentences therefore, might be going off topic here, but we've seen that earlier on in the year when there was a girl down the country whose name now escapes me. I'm sorry about that, but she was assaulted by the member of the Defence Forces and he got a very lenient sentence and then she appealed it. So, we do have problems with sentencing anyway. We see repeat offenders up for shoplifting, speeding, drunk driving, things like that. And they're getting their licences taken off them and given back. So my point around that is will the appropriate sanctions be put in place by the court? I hope they are, but we'll just have to wait and see, do they sentence appropriately according to the hate criminal?
Yeah, I just wonder, are we following sort of what's happening nationally? Because this conversation about hate crime, hate speech, it's been introduced in most other places, most recently Scotland, I believe it to be the case. But the argument seems to be hooked on to free speech. Because much of the conversation about this initially was that a guard could come into your home because you said something offensive about a foreign national or whatever it might be, a member of the travelling community or something or whatever. That's not in there any longer. But I just feel, I don't know what your views are, Liam, that this sort of, I think... if we weren't in the current environment about the freedom of speech and what have you, that this legislation would have passed without anyone even knowing that it had passed?
About 3 or 4 years ago, it probably would have, as you say, probably would have blew through without any hassle. But that's just the current times, like, you know, I suppose the power of social media now, we see a lot of polarized and extreme positions freely available now. Like, you know, like I seen something on Twitter were very popular where saying that you could be jailed now for misgendering someone, which is nonsense. Like, it's not true. They're not part of the legislation. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, people are up in arms about this, and this is the danger of social media and misinformation as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not defending it, but I'm just reading it. And then people can say, yeah, well, that's what happens when it goes to the court. If you say to someone, if you go up to someone in the street who's identifies as non-binary, say, for an example, and you reference that, that's not a crime. But if you were to assault them based on that, that's what we're talking about here. Can I just say one thing, by the way, and apologise to both Liam Blaney and Liam White? I've actually only just, it's very clear to me which one is which, right? But I've only just realised that there's two Liams on the call. So both of you, sorry. Because when I'm throwing it to one or other, I'm just saying, Liam, what do you think? So I really do apologise for that. It just was very clear to me, and I realise now there is two of you with the same name. My apologies. Okay, we'll come back with more from Liam Blaney and Liam White and Emma Gover after we take this short break. Okay, just a couple of comments on our first topic before we move on. 6 years ago, the same happened to my son and me, and the rest of my family were not happy. You have to give permission of photos, sunscreen, etc. Why not for nail polish? We've went so far now to be gender neutral. We won't let kids be kids, let boys be boys and girls be girls. There is no way kids that little should be exposed to anything else about genders. But the argument is, I suppose, that they're not being exposed because it's neutral. It's seen as neutral. Hi, Greg. I used to paint my boys' nails for fun when they were small as they saw me do it. And I asked if they could have theirs painted. It was all harmless, innocent fun and never done them any harm. They do not turn into transgender because of it. I'm sure they don't. People nowadays are so highly strung about everything, which is a fair point too. And lastly, please can you let Greg know that the polish they use in these places washes off in the bath, so it doesn't have the stay power or smell that normal polish has. I'm a parent in a creche, and I feel like the entire conversation has been taken out of context. I get you. We're not speaking about any particular creche, though one was referenced in that. We've been speaking more generally about this popping up around the county in different places. Right, so we're all gearing up now for a general election on November 29th. So, Liam White, I'll go to you first. And I suppose, you know, there are big issues. Like, obviously, defective concrete blocks is a big issue. And I think, I mean, obviously, people will be very motivated in certain parts of Donegal to vote for it. And maybe I'm wrong on that, and that can be teased out in this wider conversation. But I think there are other issues as well right across the county that will motivate people to come out and vote as well. So what do you think the big issues will be for Donegal voters, Liam White?
I suppose, like everywhere, housing is the big issue, and I suppose the defective blocks coming in as a subsection of that, which is going to be huge. But look, younger people, as it stands, very, very, very few of them are ever going to own a house or be fit to build a house with the prices, with the access to finance, and it's a massive issue. Now, there's a huge shortage of housing, even for renting, even in small towns. So housing's the big issue. Will it get the younger people out to vote on it? Hopefully. I'm not so sure. Like, you know, I think a lot of people are becoming disillusioned when you see the polls up there where the main two parties look to be in position to reform a government. Like, you know, which is something that baffles me. Like, you know, as an activist, but. To me, the big issue is housing. Now, there's other issues. I could spend an hour here talking to you about other issues. One of the other issues for me personally would be our neutrality. Like, you know, we can see the horrors that's going on in Gaza, like at the minute, and you'll see lots and lots of lobbyists who are well funded by arms companies, and they'll be in the mainstream media telling you that Ireland is vulnerable security wise, and you know that the RAF's defending our airspace and all that stuff. When in reality, nobody's attacking us. There's nobody going to come and airstrike Ireland because we're not a threat to anyone at the minute. And I think I would love if neutrality was central to this general election debate, and I would like it to be. I go back to Gaza, which is nothing but genocide in Gaza. That's all it can be described as. UNRWA released a statement, and the, you know, some of the words are powerful. The smell of death is everywhere. Every people are waiting to die. Now, this is all done not just with the consensus of the US or the EU or the UK. This is done with them backing it, giving them arms. I just learned this week that the UK is providing providing intelligence from North African reconnaissance planes to over Gaza this last 3 months. Like, you know, this is the people now that the lobbyists will come and tell us that we need to join with. You know, these are the ones that's going to defend us. Like, you know, and I want to be have no part of that.
And Liam
Ireland
White,
or Ireland. I don't think Irish people want to have any part of that.
Either. And Liam White, just in relation to that, then, so to maintain our neutrality, would you also be opposed to us training Ukrainian soldiers, providing, you know, bulletproof vests and what have you? Would you also be opposed to that?
I would be opposed to it, yeah. Like, you know, and I'm not, I no harm to any Ukrainians or that. Like, you know, I'd be, I think our efforts would be better looking for a peace deal there. The same as in Gaza, so people stop dying. Hundreds of thousands of young men, Russians and Ukrainians, are dead. Young men and women, but generally men, are dead over a needless war that has been pushed. You know what I mean? What has been pushed from the West as well? Who let's face it, we're you know, they inflamed the situation at the beginning, like, you know, and then we go back to the riots in Kyiv in 2014. Now, I'm not absolving Russia from any blame on this either, like, by saying that. I would be opposed to it. I would be opposed to providing that. Now, look, you know, in terms of aid, and we've given a lot of refuge to Ukrainians, and that we've stepped up to the plate there, like, you know. So I would definitely be opposed to
and
it.
I know, and I can understand the passion, and I know that you probably wanted to talk about that, but the reality is that probably is not going to motivate people to come out and vote. Whether it should or shouldn't is an interesting point, but you can always tell when something is going to be an election issue, whether press releases are being had about it or released about it or what have you.
Can I just say that's, and I'm not having to go with, you know, I think the likes of Highland Radio and some of the smaller media and podcasts and stuff do hitting these edges, but that's the likes of the mainstream media. I'm just trying to be conspiracy stuff, like, you know, but we'll go back to 2022 after the Russians invaded Ukraine. I think it was the Frontline program. We had the Ukrainian national anthem. No harm to the Ukrainians. I'm not having, you know, not having to go with Ukrainians. Then there was traditional Ukrainian dance on the Late Late Show, and you know what I mean. It was, we were pumped 24/7 for weeks on end about the poor Ukrainians, like, you know. And you look at the likes of, I think it was Brian Dobson giving an interview to the Russian ambassador at the time. Now, why are we not seeing the same kind of thing for the Palestinian people, or why isn't the Israeli ambassador getting the same kind of treatment as the Russian ambassador at the time? That's you know, that's where I look at the propaganda. That's propaganda, like, you know.
Yeah, but at the same because time, we have the
leg for leg,
I believe it's the Lebanese.
Have to keep everyone to the one standard, but that's not happening here.
But we are, in fairness to the government, I believe Micheál Martin is hosting and meeting the Lebanese Prime Minister in Ireland today. So that is showing solidarity with the Lebanese and the Irish government.
When the Israelis were bombing hospitals in Gaza, Micheál Martin was out pointing at holes in the ceiling in Israel. I think, and this, you know, this might be unfair, the Irish government have done a lot more than their EU counterparts. But I think, as Richard Chambers said, we're the best of a bad lot or something to that effect. Like, you know, I think it's damage control. The cause of the Palestinian people, Irish people are hugely sympathetic to it.
Okay.
And with an election coming up, they have to be seen to do something, but they could do much, much more,
I'll revert back to the local issues in a moment. Liam Blaney, I'll just put it to the point to you, following on from Liam White's comments there. Do you believe that we should be exercising our neutrality if we are truly neutral? I mean, I think the government are quite clear in saying we might be politically neutral, but not necessarily politically neutral. Does anything, Liam White, resonate with you there, Liam Blaney?
Oh, look, as a neutral and a small neutral country, I think we have points way above our weight compared to other European countries. And I think looking for a peace deal, should be paramount, should be priority number one. And the quicker that they can try and do this, the better for us all.
What about you, Emma? What's your view? I mean, listen, the truth is nowadays we're not silly anymore. We know we know the politics actually and the motivation and the money in war now. I think our forefathers perhaps didn't have the knowledge that we have now, but we know exactly why Israel is backed so favorably, whereas Russia isn't. I mean, it's, you know, commercial interests, it's trade deals, it's just the way the globe is split up. But I don't think any of us want to see the horrors of what's happening. Firstly, what happened in Israel last October, but the disproportionate response to what's happened in Gaza and now Lebanon and Yemen, which wasn't mentioned, and other countries in that area. Emma?
I would strongly advocate for us to keep our neutrality. I don't think, as Liam White has said, that we're in any danger of having an airstrike put on us or anything like that. My sole beef here, as one of my teenagers would say, is that the shocking difference between the way we have responded to what is happening in Palestine and the way we have responded to what happened in Ukraine and is happening in Ukraine. And I say that as somebody who, as I say, it says of no harm, as Liam would say, to the Ukrainian people, I totally support. And I think we should have absolutely outstretched our hand to help the Ukrainian people 110% and give them shelter during war, yes. But I interviewed a Palestinian woman, Majida, a couple of months ago, and we put it up on YouTube. And if you had heard this woman talk about what was happening to her family in Palestine, if you had heard, even now thinking about it, I can feel myself well enough. And she talked about being on the phone to her brother when he was killed in an airstrike. She talked about telling him, you know, when she was on the phone, she could hear him taking his last breaths. And she was saying to him, you're going to be okay. It's okay. You're going to be... She said she was on the phone to him trying to comfort him about the death of his wife, which he couldn't accept when she had died in an airstrike a few days earlier. And his son, her nephew, was talking to her and saying, you know, he can't accept it. He won't accept it. And we're trying to convince him that mum has died. And so she got on the phone with him and she was trying to say to him, you know, you have a guardian angel now. And she was talking to him and she was saying to him, you know, it's okay. You know, everything's going to be okay. And she heard the sirens go off. And it's a story that will stick with me for the rest of my life. She said she heard the sirens go off and she actually heard the explosion. And she said she could hear her brother taking his last breaths trapped under the rubble. And she was saying to him, I'm actually emotional about it, because yeah, she was saying to him, you know, you're going to be okay. It's okay. And she heard her brother take his very last breath. Mm. And on that day, I think she said to me, it was in the double digits. They lost generations that day.
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw very recently.
One of 13 children left out of that family.
I mean, we saw very recently the attacks in Lebanon, whereby to get one member of, alleged member of Hezbollah, that they're prepared to put a missile through a residential unit of flats, and the collateral damage is justified.
I just can't understand why we are not as outraged. I know we say we're as outraged, and I see those who are.
Are you on about us as individuals?
No, I mean us collectively in the West.
Because I think really, because...
I mean us collectively. I don't mean
I think
me.
That's I a human. I know I that. I think it's a human condition. I think that, you know, there's lots of families at the moment that are dealing with, you know, children with additional needs. They've got older people in hospitals. They're struggling to pay their mortgage. They're in houses that are falling down around their ears. It's very hard to take, for some people, it's very hard to take on this crisis as well. It's very hard to have the capacity to manage it.
Coming up to the general election, you see, before we got into the discussion of neutrality, what I was going to be talking about was when we were talking about what.
Well, can I take a very quick break? Because I just want to make sure that I have the space for it. And I've markers here. I'm obliged to take breaks. As you can imagine, it's the only money that we have. Back after these. Right, Emma Gova, you were about to go on to... what might actually motivate people to come out and vote on the 29th?
As a mother of four, one of my, I keep saying my children, one's an adult now, she's 19. But
they're always your children.
Always my children. But, you know, the bread and butter issues that are really facing families here, like I remember being on your show and talking about having four children, two with additional needs. And since then, a third child of mine has been in hospital since the 15th of August, now spending their 71st day in University Hospital Galway. And shout out to the staff and the nurses and doctors and HCAs, and has since been diagnosed with additional care needs as well. And the issues that face us family carers and those on disability. I came across, a woman reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and I asked her, could I discuss it? But I won't give her name for anonymity reasons, because it's a very, very sensitive subject. And so she said, yes, absolutely, because this is not just what she's going through, but many families are going through. So she reached out to me and I agreed to meet up with her. I go down to Galway twice a week and I said, in between times, you know, I'll meet up with you. And she was in absolute tears. She had a house full of young children, some with additional needs. And her husband had lost his job. And she was in tears. She sat with me. I believe it was a Monday. She sat with me. She was in tears. Her electric was going to be cut off on the Tuesday. And she had 27 euro to get a week shopping. Or she didn't know whether to pay the 27 euro off the electric to keep the electric on, but then she couldn't buy the food. But if she bought the food and the power went off, she had no fridge to store it in.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at her wit's end. She had no idea what could she do. And I, you know, referred her, you know, I said, what about, you know, the local food bank? And she said, I can't go in there. People from, you know, from my hometown may see me or whatever it may be. And I said, you know, there's no shame in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you want me to reach out to a food bank in a different town? And she said, yeah, if you could. And so I did. And we got help, a very, very generous member of, who was at the food bank, heard, you know, was what I was discussing with I know the manager of the food bank, and they paid some money off her electric to keep her electric on for her. And this was a complete stranger. And when I tell you that woman, when I went back to her and you know, said to her, you know, that this is going to be sorted or whatever, when I say she collapsed into my arms crying, I mean she sobbed.
Yeah, just moved
because
by the
she
support.
Was going to be able to feed her children and keep her electric on. I spoke to another woman this week. She is a pensioner.
Yeah, if you could be brief, and I don't wish to be heartless because they're very important stories. I just want to bring Liam in as well. Liam Blaney.
He has a disability. She was moved from disability to old age pension. And because of that, she's over the threshold and lost her medical card.
Mm.
And now she can't afford her medication because she's been given a GP card and a drugs card. And so her threshold is 80 euros a month for her. But yet she's on the old age pension. But because she had a little bit put aside before her old age pension came, and I mean a very little bit, she's 10 year old threshold.
And I wonder, does someone like that feel that there's any personal political party that's talking to them, and maybe they might not be inclined to vote? Liam Blaney, just on to you. Were you surprised at Fianna Fáil's strategy of adding Claudia Kennedy, a third strategy, so I suppose, in the east of the county? It seemed to take some people by surprise. Did it take you by surprise? What do you think of that move, if you want to talk about it publicly?
Oh, definitely took me by surprise. I think it took all the elected members in the county, if you have all elected members in the county, by surprise. And we didn't feel that there was a need or that there would be a third candidate on it. And if you look at the bigger picture, you know, we had a convention and there was a contest between Pat de Cope Gallagher and Councillor Michael Nocton. And Councillor Nocton brought up a very good showing there. And personally, I felt that if anybody was going to be selected, it would have been Councillor Nocton. You know, a man that topped the poll in his own area, a very, very popular councillor, very, very hardworking councillor. And, we were very, very surprised that Claudia was selected. Nothing against Claudia, but she was down in the last council elections and got 301 votes, I think it was on. And so that's what people thought may have been. Not that we thought who may have been. We didn't think anybody would be. But now they have selected somebody, we thought that that's who it might have been.
What do you think the strategy is, Liam?
It seems to be, in my opinion, females, having so many females on the ticket, and they looked at this constituency and for whatever reason, they believe that
Claudia would be a good candidate for this constituency, for this county. And look, I wish all the three of them all the best. And we'll be doing what we can to try and retain at least two seats.
Well, I wish everyone that's put the name on the ballot paper all the best, because it takes an awful lot to do it. There's one thing talking, it's another thing sticking your name down. Okay, listen, that's where we have to leave it. Liam Blaney, thank you very much for your time today. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Emma, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Sorry to have to rush you along a little bit, but you know yourself, the clock waits for no man, i.e. me. Have a lovely weekend and best wishes to you and your family. I wasn't aware of that most recent news, but no better woman than yourself. All right, thanks very much. Liam, thank you as well. I really do appreciate your time and getting involved in the conversation. Liam White, take care of yourself. All right, that was our Friday panel.